Someday I wanted to be an astronaut, and the other day I wanted to be a doctor. So it fluctuates every time. But never in my mind it came across that I want to be a teacher. I was in the first year, we were 21 students. And when we passed out, we were still 21. I feel a lot of, I think most of our 20 students do, I feel a lot of responsibility for my families. Even the teacher didn't expect my name, you know, like he didn't think that I would raise my hand and say I'll go. Me, everyone is a student to me, so regardless of the judging from where they come from, I have to give my best. So anyok means baby in our Nature dialect. Gaga is someone you want. It's like loved ones.
That's so perfect.
ANYOGGAGA.com. It has the same name as my YouTube channel, like Learn English with Gizom, and it has all my YouTube videos. Now, I'm not sure if that person is running from India or from inside Tibet. That education is very important. I always focus on the importance of education.
Voices of Young Tibetans is a podcast presented by the Foundation for Nonviolent Alternatives, where young Tibetans share their personal stories, experiences, opinions, and journey in exile.
Teshi Dilek, namaste, and welcome to our FNVA's podcast, Unsilenced Voices of Young Tibetans. In today's episode with us, we have a young Tibetan woman who's making concrete changes in our Tibetan community. She teaches English by online means and currently runs a thriving YouTube channel. She has already given various interviews on different media and YouTube channels. I personally had the pleasure of meeting her for the first time recently at GTSU's event, Literati. Where she spoke her experience in teaching and reading. So welcome to our show, Srinidhi Zubla.
Thank you so much for having me. Finally, I'm so excited to be here.
The pleasure is all ours. So Srinidhi Zubla, growing up, did you see yourself becoming a teacher, and that too, someone who teaches via such online means?
So it's very interesting because growing up, I didn't have any specific aim, meaning someday I wanted to be an astronaut, and the other day I wanted to be a doctor. So it fluctuates every time, but never in my mind it came across that I want to be a teacher. Some days I also wanted to be a politician, which I don't at all right now. But yeah, but then as we started getting older, I went and pursued my integrated BA BEd course. So what really impacted me or had a lasting impact on me is I had some amazing teachers in my life personally, and there were two of them who really left a great value and a positive change towards looking at teaching and how valuable that job is. So then I went to Varanasi to get my degree in teaching and geography, and English being my first and second teaching subject, and that's how I came into the action of being a teacher. But if you ask me as a child if I wanted to be a teacher, no, it was not my plan, it was not my aim. And these days, online teaching, becoming an online thing has become so easy. Back in this, I'm sure you would agree that there were not such an option to be like a social media influencer, content creator, but I think it's amazing that we have such kind of opportunities these days.
Definitely, Kitumla. And like when you gave your answer, like something that really hit me is like when you grow up, you have these different ambitions.
Exactly.
And, you know, we even have teachers saying what you want to be when you grow up. So it's very interesting to see that you had a different ambition. But certain things happen in your life, which you rightly said, like how you came across certain teachers who really inspired you. And teacher is something which I feel that our Tibetan community, to a certain extent, lacks currently. We don't have many youngsters pursuing that path, but there are. Yeah. It's not like there are no youngsters. There are youngsters like yourself. And more recently, I believe, the Tibetan government in exile, they also gave out a workshop where I saw a number of young Tibetans who were teaching. So it's a real pleasure seeing all of you.
So our program is basically fully funded, if I rightfully say so, by our Department of Education. So when I pursued my BA BEd, it was like a full scholarship. Sherik sponsored that, and we didn't have to pay any single amount for that. So it was for making good teachers for our community who will be able to teach in Tibetan, as well as have that, you know, like strong foundation, basic knowledge of what's going around the world. How would we integrate the modern teaching to our children in a more cultural manner? So yeah, I was part of those students.
Indeed. And if I may ask, like, what was the strength of your badge? Like, I think there must be certain badges.
Every year they select 25 students.
Okay.
So sometimes they get more registration than 25. Mm. But in our case, I don't know how many registered, but when I was in the first year, we were 21 students. And when we passed out, we were still 21.
Okay,
yeah.
So that's like 100%
pass rate. Yeah.
Very interesting. And moving on, like you rightly said that teaching English has become your passion. So like you initially started, like I've gone through a lot of your interviews that you did, and I've seen from all this that you first began teaching in a monastic community.
Yes.
So what I want to ask is, what made you teach in such a community initially? Mm-hmm. And did you teach in one monastery or have you been teaching in several monasteries?
So,
or even nunneries for that matter.
Yeah, like, I get that. So my journey of teaching in these kind of monasteries and nunneries began right before I started working. It was back in college in our fourth year. Mm-hmm. Our Tibetan teacher was asking all of us in a group that certain nunnery wants a teacher and who wants to go there. He was asking stuff like that. No one answered. Mm. And in my mind, what I wanted to do was, right after my degree, I wanted to pursue MA, maybe in English or geography. I was not sure at that time, but I wanted to pursue my MA. But then when he announced that, I was like, okay, maybe this is the time that I need to work. Mm-hmm. Because I feel a lot of, I think most of our Tibetan students do, I feel a lot of responsibility for my family. Like, I don't want to become a burden to them. I want to, if I want to do something, I want to do it on my own. I don't want to, you know, like, make my parents keep sending me money. Yeah. I'm sure they will do that. They will support no matter what. But as only a girl child in the family, I feel that kind of responsibility for myself. So when he was asking that, my teacher, no one answered. Then I raised my hand. I was like, okay, I'll go. I wanna go to that nunnery and explore, and I'll do my best. Even the teacher didn't expect my name, you know, like he didn't think that I would raise my hand and say I'll go.
I still
don't know why, but his facial expression was like, oh, you?
Okay.
Yeah. So, but then I went there. I think because he also has that kind of responsibility that whoever goes there, because he was going to select us and send there. Maybe, I don't know his backstory, but yeah, that happened. And then right after my college, I took a week gap and then I started working back in 2018. My first nunnery that I have worked was in Nyingma Monastery based in Siliguri.
Okay.
Yeah, northeast side of India. So I stayed there for 4 years. When I went there, it was my first teaching job, and like my first job. It was their first, they're going to run a monastic school like a proper monastic school for the very first time. So it was give and take. I was learning a lot of things from my journey. They were also, you know, like getting to learn, okay, this teacher teaches like that. If she is not there, we have to carry on like that. So yeah, it was a lot of give and takes, but it was very, very, very productive. And after 4 years, last year, I resigned and then I joined another monastery that I'm currently working. It's at Chopema. It's called Jigar Tubakatu Institute.
Okay.
And it's going to be almost a year. Almost, yeah. In June, it's going to be 1 year. Yeah. So I'm currently here. Apart from there, I haven't really got the chance to go to another monastery because when I work, I want to give my full time, full dedication. And so that's my also motive that I don't want to jump to places for a week or two. And
indeed.
Yeah. So, yeah, so currently I'm at my second workplace, which is also a monastery.
This is very interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like besides talking to the monastery initially, how, you know, being a human for that matter, like how you want to get away from your parents' shadow, I think I can put it in that yeah. in a sense, like financially.
Yes,
I mean, you still
yes,
will
yes,
be with them.
Yes,
but the financial burden that you don't want to put onwards them, I think it's very relevant. And many humans, and especially youths these days, think about it.
Mm-hmm.
I can say to a certain extent, I'm one of them.
Yeah.
Like for the past few years, since joining FNV, I've also been trying to not get any financial help from my parents. But time for time, like, you know how parents are. They
yeah.
want to
yeah,
give you
true,
the best,
true.
You
yeah.
know,
mm.
feed you the best or whatever. Mm. And when you talk about monastery and you're teaching at a monastic community,
mm-hmm.
even being a nunnery, it's very interesting. Two different states. One in northeast,
opposite sides of the same
Assam,
thing.
Siliguri, Assam,
yes.
and the other one in Himachal. Do you find
yes.
any differences? Like one, I mean, you certainly might.
Yes,
one you taught
course.
For 4 years, for one for 1 year. So
apart from that, one is a nunnery, and now
yeah.
it's a monastery. So the biggest difference it could be a thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were there any differences when you teach them also? Like
it depends a lot, I think, on the students
okay.
from where they come from.
Mm.
Yeah, so when I was in that nunnery, most of the students were from the Himalayan region, like the border area
yeah.
of Tibet and Nepal. But right now, most of my students are from Darjeeling sites,
mm-hmm.
meaning they are mostly Nepali. But
mm-hmm.
because we, the teaching method, the teaching style, I think it goes the same way because see, everyone is a kid to me.
Yeah.
Everyone is a student to me. So regardless of the judging from where they come from, I have to give my best. And I do that. One difference that I find is nuns, like the girls, are... I'm not going to hurt you by saying that, but they are a little towards the softer side
okay.
as a human because what happens with guys is when I scold them, when I give them a good lecture, they would be like, I don't want to listen. Girls don't show that attitude. So
okay.
this difference is there. Other than that, whatever we teach, as I told you, when I went there to the Siliguri Monastery,
mm-hmm.
we were all starting out. So when I left, there was a little bit of system that this our school has to work like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I resigned, certain teacher is going to come and replace my
yep.
place. So this happened up to a certain extent, the same in the place where
yeah.
I'm working currently. Part of the reason why I am here is this, because I wanna, since I won't take all of the credit because I helped a lot building a little bit of school system in that nunnery.
Yeah.
I wanted to do this for the monastery that I'm currently working on. So here also, when I started joining, there were no proper school system because now that I, it's true that I only have BA degree, but from my experience of working, especially in the monastic schools and institutions, I know how we work, how should we work. It's not the same as how we teach in our Tibetan schools because students are different, courses are different, curriculum is different, timing is different, so we have to look according to that. So here also they started because I have now the experience, it was not very difficult for us to, you know, like come up with courses appropriate for our monks and everything. Yeah, so those kind of things were there. Other than that, all of my students are amazing. They're here, everyone. Yeah.
Very interesting. Like I have one of my I can call her my sister. Like she's my aunt's daughter, so she's also teaching in a monastery
oh,
in
wow.
Nepal. I'm meeting her this Monday, so I'll
nice.
Also try to see what she has experienced. Very interesting listening to
yeah.
what you have to say.
That's...
So, like something you said, you started teaching at 2018. Like you know what happened at 2020 onwards, the
yeah.
COVID, the pandemic, whatnot. So how difficult was it teaching during that time? Because I was a student myself during that time, doing my master's. And I, not only myself, I saw even younger kids like my sisters, brothers, my nephews, whatever, how they were also learning. The new
right.
system of online teaching became
right.
popular. So how did you like navigate through these challenges? Like
yes. So I think it's going to sound a little shady, but...
Mm-hmm.
COVID has actually proved as a blessing in disguise for me, and I say it bluntly because our the main gate of our monastery was closed. There was no connection with the outside world. It's when I was in Siliguri. So inside our monastery, everyone was, you know, like carrying out the usual activity that we do, but with a little bit of cautiousness. Since we don't have the connection with the people outside our gate, there was, you know, there was zero case in our monastery. So inside our monastery, we were doing everything, like the regular thing, the, like the puja ritual, classes, playtime, everything we were doing, and was going very great. And also, my online journey also started during COVID. The initial reason for my, you know, like why I started doing this is because, since you said that everyone had to stay back at their home and school students had to do online classes and everything, I have a niece and she was, I think, 6 or 7 maybe during that time. And I was very concerned about her. I was like, how are kindergarten students getting their education? And then I asked my mother, I asked her, how are they getting their education? How are they learning? What about their regular classes? And she didn't have any answer to my satisfaction. Then I thought maybe I can put up some videos to help parents, not the teachers, but the parents, as to how they can help or guide their kids at home in a playful manner, like a little bit of drawing, making paper attractive and everything. So that's how I started. And I didn't start with YouTube. I started with Facebook because in my mind, I was like, Facebook is for older generations. And if I put my videos there, more our brothers and sisters will give their attention and it would be, it would give a lot of engagement. Then it proved right also. My first 4 videos, they got very good appreciation from our Tibetan audience. And they were the, some of them were like, okay, now you should put a proper video, not just for kids, but for every beginners that wants to learn English. And that's how I started my YouTube journey. And it's still going on. So part of the reason why I am still in this line is, I think it's an unfortunate period that time, but it was a very helpful for me, both professionally, personally, and
it's definitely like COVID was a time where many suffered and continue to suffer even now, but it also provided a space where different opportunities came.
Yes, true.
And you rightly say how online thing became a big thing, and not only online, I also observed how a lot of Tibetans started to get into this YouTube making content, and you being one of them, like, what are the challenges and are there any secrets of, you know, like running a thriving YouTube channel?
I actually think first thing that you have to stop saying is, oh, I just make YouTube for memory. I don't like that answer at all. Many may disagree, but I feel when you put it like that, you will not get that passion. I don't think you'll get that drive to, you know, like make better contents, make your video as professional as you could. When you say that, you are already giving a reason that you are not, you know, like actually excited about it. I think if you want to thrive, if you want to succeed, if you want to get good subscribers, I think first you have to show your authenticity, meaning don't just act for camera. If you, even if you are making a daily vlog or like myself, like a educational content or like a food channel, you know, Paldin's Kitchen. How professional is he? So that kind of content I really appreciate because it talks, it not only talks about the thing he is expert in, but looking just at the video, I feel very aesthetically pleasing. So my point is, if you start with saying like, oh, it's for memory, if it's for a memory, it's, if it's actually for memory, why don't you make it private? So that it could be on YouTube and it, you could watch that whenever you want. So my point is, no, it's not only for memory. You want to make a change, you want to make something for yourself, and you want to let others know that you are here. So keep that mindset and start working. And I think it will help building your channel a lot better, faster. So that is number one. Other challenges, I think it all relates to the technicality. Like, we all come from very basic Shijapu nature. Yeah, so we don't have that. Some might do, I don't know. But for us, I didn't have any digital knowledge.
Yep.
The only thing I knew was how to browse through Facebook and Instagram and watch some videos on YouTube. But because I had to learn a lot of things. Mm-hmm. And one app that I still want to recommend is Canva. Yep. Whatever you do, Canva is like the shortcut you need. Mm-hmm. I tell that everyone, but I don't know who listens. But yeah, so challenges with making good editing site, challenges with making how you want to position your frame and everything. So those things are there. Other than that, even if you have just a smartphone, I think you can start, but just be mindful of what you want to make out of your YouTube channel. We have a lot of now, I mean, great vloggers, content creators. Now, if you want to start, I feel, what difference can you make? What can you do different if you are starting out? So I think if you want to focus on that and stick on that and be consistent, and then I think you can really thrive and be prominent person. Yeah,
indeed, you raised some very pertinent points of how to run a thriving YouTube channel. And definitely, I believe, like, you gave a shout out to Canva, and I can proudly say that I'm one of the Canva users. And I would also say everyone use Canva, of course. And also, if possible, buy the pro version. You know,
yeah, I have that.
It's not that expensive, and
yes,
you get a lot of benefits.
True, yes, Richard, definitely do.
Back you up on that. And previously, like, you mentioned how in your early inroads into YouTube, you said how you saw your younger niece studying. And, you know, like, I also watch YouTube contents, and something that I've seen, like, I tend to try to find things, you know. So among the top 10 YouTube channels, apparently, it's like kids' channel where you teach. Like, teaching contents are very popular. I think out of the top 10, maybe 4 or 5 channels are those, like, with more subscribers. You've recently launched something very similar, Anyo Gaga.
Yes.
So could you tell us more on this, and, like, what's Anyo Gaga? Like, what's your story behind it? Like, what future paths do you see with it?
Okay. So Anyo Gaga is my, hopefully, it's something that I want to make a brand. I'm currently referring it as my work. So Anyo means baby in our Nache dialect. Gaga is someone you want. It's like loved ones.
Yep.
So yeah, literally translation is that. So Anyo Gaga, from Anyo Gaga, or in Anyo Gaga, what I do is currently I work alone. I make and I sell some books for kids, and I give a lot of free PDFs for kids to improve and learn English. And I have been doing that from last 2-3 years, but it was all under my YouTube channel name. And I felt it's not going in the right way, or at least in the way that I want to carry forward. So that's a major reason why I started Anyo Gaga. It's like a whole rebranding. Because I teach English on my YouTube channel or on my social platforms, but my other work is more related to, you know, like, giving good educational materials for our kids in our Tibetan language. So for that, I cannot produce it under Learn English with Gizom. And I felt, okay, I need to do something for this thing. And I then started my website. I made a website called Anyo Gaga, and I've registered it on some small to medium platform and everything. So the mission for this Anyo Gaga brand is to make education accessible and affordable, meaning everyone could get something from Anyo Gaga to make their kids' educational journey better, improve quality time, making sure that their kids are staying engaged with educational activities. And by accessible, of course, it's not at every local store. I am still a very tiny entrepreneur. So that's why I made my own website. And I make sure that if you are in India, you will be able to get my products, books, in, like, at least in maybe max 7 days, like 7 working days, you'll have my product. So that's my mission, that's my plan, and I am currently doing it on my own. I hopefully hope that I will get a team, and I wish that I can make this even on a larger scale where I can also hire people. Like, I didn't say till now, but if someone wish, like, I feel like I want to keep an intern, and I want to make sure that he also learns from me, like the journey I went through, the knowledge that I have, at least from my YouTube and social platform, and now owning a brand. If someone wishes to do the exact same thing as me or even better than me, and wants to contact me and everything for this, of course I cannot pay any money for that, but I'm very much available for that kind of, you know, like a journey together with me. That's also a plan, that I want to make this brand, you know, like a home brand for every kids. Hopefully, let's see in next 5 years what, where we get and everything. So this is basically Anyo Gaga, where you will find some Tibetan related educational material for your kid. And I've recently launched two new books. One is in Tibetan, one is in English, and a flashcard for Tibetan, in Tibetan for our kids. Yeah, so those were the three new launches that we have under Anyo Gaga. Oh,
that's very interesting. And bringing about flashcards, I remember when I was learning for my TOEFL that you need to buy a lot of flashcards.
True,
and
yeah.
Never find Tibetan flashcards. It's interesting to see that Anyo Gaga does this very thing that is lacking right now. And if one were to buy anything from Anyo Gaga, where do we buy it? Go through your website, or
yes,
like, what's the
ANYOGGAGA.com is where you will get all my products.
Very interesting. And on top of this, like, saying you stressed on the point of how, like, teaching to younger generation is very important, and that it truly is, like, through such mediums. And like, one thing that I've observed by watching your channel is you have this very unique teaching method of going through someone's speech and, you know, reciting it.
Yes.
So how do you basically make such teaching and even online modules that, you know, encourage and make learning English easier for others?
Thank you. So previously what I do is I read out a story, just a story, and I explain all the important parts of that story. But then I felt, okay, since I am a content creator, I also have to take care of that. I felt, what if I translate or explain another person's artiban, another person's speech, and give that message, give that meaning in Tibetan? How I wanted to test out the content. So I think I started with, the first one was, I think, Tenzin Chudenla, the public speaker coach.
Oh,
I think she was the first one that I tried, and people loved that video. So I decided that, okay, this will be a playlist.
Yeah.
I'm going to continue doing this. And all of, like you said, all the videos under that content, like the same version of those with different person, it gets a lot of views. And if it is getting a lot of views, and if it is helping other, why wouldn't I continue to do that? I feel like the major reason for that is I choose people who are, you know, like prominent in our society, and I want to make sure that people listen to them. And because they are already, you know, at some level, people will, if not to me, will. Yeah, that's my plan. That's how I do it.
And it's a very interesting exercise through which they not only learn English, but they also get the message what they are saying.
Yeah, true.
So
yes.
Very interesting. I think this is like a win-win situation for all parties.
True.
So, Tringla, like, you have been teaching English via online means.
Yeah.
Have you come across and have you been able to reach out to our fellow Tibetans inside occupied Tibet?
There were some incidents. I would say I did, because there were, one is the major thing that I really like feel good about my work is, back in Tibet, you know, Douyin, TikTok?
Douyin, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, sorry about the pronunciation.
In Chinese,
yeah.
Like Douyin.
So, my YouTube channel, like everything that I post there, I don't know who runs that thing,
okay,
but it has the same name as my YouTube channel,
okay,
like Learn English with Gizom, and it has all my YouTube videos.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure if that person is running from India or from inside Tibet, but I'm grateful that they are, you know, like, that person is doing this, and at least my work is also getting spread there, so I have no problem with that.
Indeed.
Okay, so that's one. Another thing is, I think from my last or... Okay, yeah, I think it's my last online class that I did in maybe last year. Someone from Tibet contacted me.
Okay, like why YouTube or like Instagram?
From Instagram, yeah. So firstly, I didn't really believe that thing. I was like, okay, how can someone from Tibet run Instagram? Because I don't have any immediate connection from Tibet. Our family is all here, so that's why I was confused. But then he texted me on WhatsApp and everything, and he was like, I need all your materials and I will pay for that. I said, no, you don't need to pay for anything. You take my materials. I've emailed him every PDF that I give for free, plus some that I sell. And he also said, like, he wishes to join my class, online class, and he will pay for it. I said, you don't need to pay for anything. And I think later, one of his sisters is in India, and she paid. I think it's that way. I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah, but that happened. And way before that, another person from Tibet, who is also a teacher, he has went back from here to there.
Okay.
He also contacted, and he was like, okay, your videos are very great. I want to do it here and everything. So those few incidents did happen to me related to back in Tibet.
This is very interesting, you know, like how, I mean, we are separated by borders, by governance, whatever, like us Tibetans in exile, in the diaspora, and those in occupied Tibet. But the connection that one has been able to make, like yourself, through your YouTube channel, teaching English, I think this says a lot. Like, wherever you are, Tibetans are there together.
Right.
I think that message is very clear. And it's really inspiring to see how they're also willing to learn and you're also willing to share. I think the same thing can apply, that we are also willing to learn what they're doing. We can also share things. They can also share things to us.
Yes.
So this is a beautiful thing that I got to learn firsthand from you. Thank you
thank
for sharing
you,
it with us.
Yes.
And on top of this thing, like, you've been teaching English to mostly Tibetan and Himalayan communities.
True,
are there any goals or any wishes or any desire from your side to now enlarge this scope? Like, you're based in India.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you want to touch? Like, India is a very big population, more than 1 billion people. So what's your thought on that?
My goal or my say would be, as of now, I still want to focus on the things that I'm currently doing. I don't want to, you know, like, give you some major, big things that I want to be here, I want to be there, I want to go global and everything. No, that's not my plan right now. My plan is actually to make my online presence a little more, you know, like, on a wider side, still on a wider side. And I also want to keep continue working at the monastery that I'm currently working on, because it's only been a year. And I don't want to leave them in the middle of something that they are currently learning how to do. That is one thing. And on speaking on my online center or online thing, I have already bought a website, my domain name and everything. Now, very soon, people will get to hear from me that I have this course ready for you, where you don't have to actually sit and add my Zoom meeting and Zoom classes and everything. You can directly learn everything in a systematic way from my website. I've already done that, but since I am the only working member of that thing, so I have to take my time, I have to take care of myself and my other works as well. So hopefully this year I'm going to make this, like, I'm going to launch that website also, but let's see,
Indeed, very interesting. And on top of this, like, an idea just came across my mind. I don't know whether you can just think about this. Like, you learn in a system like in Varanasi, where the CTA, the Department of Education.
Yes.
Don't you think that they could also collaborate? Or I think this is a very exciting avenue, you know, like,
they can
collaborate.
I'm happy to do that.
Maybe if they are not interested, like, there are different, you know, like, there are also monastic education centers, you know, they would very much, I think, jump on this thing that you're doing. Because this is the future, in my opinion, you know, like,
true.
With AI and everything coming, like, unless one just wants to sit back and look at the past, like, one needs to walk the future, and you're definitely doing it, and I think it's an avenue which others should explore.
Yeah.
And right now, when you say you're alone, I think you will not be alone.
There will be others who will come and help you.
Because it's such a promising project, in my opinion. So I'm not in the field.
I'm sure I'm going to work on that, yeah.
Indeed. So, we are running short on time. Finally, I would like to ask whether you have any messages to our Tibetan and Tibet supporters worldwide.
I generally say this, that I don't have anything to say to my the people who are elder to me or like have a more experience than me, but to my younger audience, like my younger brothers and sisters, I want to say that education is very important. I always focus on the importance of education. Growing up, I was okay at studies. Mm-hmm. I always wanted to continue my study. Even I didn't tell you that, but even when I was working in Siliguri, I did a long curriculum to Chesh Dwara. From IGNO, I completed my first year and then I couldn't give the final exam, and then the times were over and everything. But my point is, education is very important. It makes you become a better version of yourself. It makes you become a better person. So don't disrespect or don't skip on that idea. It's okay if you don't get a job related to your degree, but because you get education, you get good education, I feel you will land up to some great place in your life. So,
so that is a very wonderful message to end our show, you know, education. Like, this is something that we constantly hear from our elders. Sometimes we think it's repetitive, but there is a really strong meaning behind it. So, on that note, on behalf of the Foundation for Nonviolent Alternatives, thank you so much and wish you well in your endeavors.
Thank you so much.
For more updates and videos via FMA, click on the link and please subscribe to our channel. Thank you for watching.